Accession number 19048, relay.
That was number one, Fitzjohn's Avenue.
Okay, Harry, so that's Harry Boardman, and it's Real 8, and you're in London.
Yep.
And you're just telling a story here of this lady comedian that I guess may have been the person called Joan Turner, but we're not sure about that.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else you want to go on from there, Harry?
Yes. Well, from there, of course, we had nothing literally to do. We just churned a lot of stuff out and sent it round to people, you know, for travel, wherever they were going to travel or who were going to do the travel or that. And I could have as much time off as I wanted, you know, doing theatre and opera and so on. And that's really what I absolutely got into.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I was... For a year, I was chief one for the First Nighters Association. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but there's a well, there used to be. I don't know. I don't suppose they're going now because there are no First Nights any longer. But then every theatre used to have a First Night effort, you know. And I'll tell you a strange thing. In the Albert Hall. On the year Princess Anne used to do it quite bad. In fact, she did it that particular night I was there because I was introduced to her, Princess Anne, and thought, my goodness, what a stage. She had a dress of loops all knitted together, metal. It was just metal, brown metal. You know, a dress, brown metal, must have weighed a ton or something. Mind, it was the first time she'd done it, this, you know, presenting the yearly awards and everything like that. And we were in the box on the ground level, which is under the royal box. And I don't really know, but the boxes on the ground floor have kitchens attached to them at the back, you know, where you can cook, you can do little bits and things, a canopy or something. And so on, and then you can have a meal in between, you know, doing when the things are. And the whole place was packed, absolutely solid, with round tables, very large round tables, and in fact overpacked. No one could get out. No one could go anywhere. And a person underneath our box, underneath me, in our trousers, jeez, no, oh, you know. And I leaned over and said, "What's the matter, mate?" And he said something in French, first of all, you know. He said, "Fuck you," or something like that. I don't know. Oh,
yes.
And, oh, dear.
It's okay.
Oh dear.
Whatever he said, yes.
Whatever he said, but he said something in French. I said, "Well, what's wrong with it?" I said, and he couldn't move. In other words, he could not get through these tables. You could not have moved from there. Mm. So I said, "We'll pull you in here." So we start lifting him, and he's a big, hefty chap. Do you know the French singer? We've pulled him up, and what a state. And then eventually, Princess Anne stopped her singing, you know, stopped her thing,
presentations,
whatever it was, and presenting things to people with on the stage. Stopped, and everybody in the place turned round and watched this. We pulled him up. His shirt came up, his jacket came over his head, he showed all his trousers and his underpants and everything, and we finally dragged him into the doing his watching that we're under. We were the
on a level where you had a toilet
on the ground floor, so dragged him in, and you know, and everything like that, and sorted him out and that. And he said he was this singer, you know, who played his guitar. And so much so that we became fairly good friends, in actual fact. And then I once told him I was going to Cannes, south of France, for a holiday, and I'd never been to south of France. Mm. Where shall, you know, what sort of digs? I thought, well, no, I thought these huge hotels, you know, cost the earth, you know, Cannes, south of France in the middle of summer. Oh, he said, I know one. He said, Hotel Normandy. Well, you've got, I know it now, but hotel doesn't necessarily mean what it sounds like, you see. So he says, it's right outside, he said. Ask any taxi driver, anyway, but it, anyway, you need not do it. It's right opposite where you get off it. At Cannes, you know, the first stop, the two stops at Cannes.
You'd go by train, would you?
Yes, sorry. just get off the doings and go immediately opposite and you'll see Hotel Normandy. And that's it. Oh, the best food in the place. Fabulous food. And he was one who looked, obviously, that he could use it.
So he enjoyed it, yeah.
And he said, nothing expensive. It's Normandy. Oh, I thought, well, that's a very good one. Can I say you? Said, oh yes, yes. Tell her it's me. Oh, and then you were okay. So I go to South France, Cannes, South France. Get out. Go straight across the road. Well, it was this fabulous, enormous. You know, Hotel Normandy. Well, hotel to them means just an ordinary...
Somewhere to stay.
Anywhere, in actual fact. In fact, it was probably about twice the width of this place, in actual fact. Mm. Dark and dingy, and in the distance, through the thing, you know, it was about... And there was just room for one lot of tables down one side. But small tables, you know, with two people on. There would be two people there. Down there. There was no one in at the time. It was early morning. Down the thing. And it looked dreary and weird and whatever. And far end, you'd see the rows of bottles, you know, what they sell, you know, and everything like that. And so I went in and I said, and it said, Hotel Normandy. I thought maybe it's around the corner or something like that. Anyway, I went in and I said, "Is no Hotel Normandy here?" Oh yes, it's sort of yes, you know, sit down sort of thing. I thought, "Oh Christ, I'm landed in Cannes and no really place to go to. I couldn't stay in this, you know, whatever it is, because." Half the kitchen seemed to be outside and the back, you know, and doing it, chopping on boards and everything like that. I've done a painting, in actual fact, of their, I don't know, you haven't seen it, actually, no. Right? It's in the other room. Mm. I did a painting. I was going to do some painting in South Africa, that's why I went. I said, well, I'll try one night, see what it's like here. And so on. I said, well, could you put me up for one night? Oh, I mean, she could have said, well, an hour if you wanted. Yes. Yes, good, right. Where's it? Just go out here, up the stairs here, you know, to the other part, and so on. So I would go out and up and out to the gardens where was a place made of, like, not straw, but plaited straw and everything, you know. You said the France, you didn't need anything watertight or anything like that. And it was just two or three steps, a few steps up with two floors of doings set next to the Hotel Normandy, not actually Hotel Normandy. So I went upstairs, really, it was quite, you know, reasonably, but not a single soul in. And I thought, but he said it, you know, I'm sure there's something wrong. And then suddenly you heard a hooting on the river, you know, on the coast. You can see the river. American Navy, big battleship, you know, arriving. Oh, I come around and look. Suddenly, and incidentally, round there it had said so many francs, you know, a night on a board. Turn round, and it was about, you know, £10 or £20 or something per hour. They turned this thing round, and it said, you know, so much per hour, you know, hour, whatever it is in French. I thought, there's something. It can't be. I can't spend so much an hour. In actual fact, it was for the Navy. And it,
I see. It was a place for the Navy to come to.
It was the minute they knew there was a boat coming in.
Yes.
Hotel Normandy, they turned into a bloody brothel.
Yes.
And what's more, it went every night. And I slept about these lot, you know, and you get in all night long. But they only had it for the hour. You know, idea. The food was, in fact, fabulous. It was so dark. It was the first place I ever tried an artichoke, you know, quite frankly.
They're hard to eat, aren't they?
Yes, but it was very good, and the place was clean sheets, two sheets, you know, what else do you want, and so on. But it was purely for the Navy per hour, and it was per hour the minute they just turned the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Sorry, Harry.
And the chap who'd done it, you know, was in fact, he did a tour in England quite a bit, you know, was singing and dancing in evening dress. He looked quite good. I forget his name now at the moment, but he was very, very good. He was top line on the, when he was, you know, the Palladium and places like that. He was top line billing, you know. You know, he sang more to the thing and put it on. He put on the print, you know, not like the other chap. At the same time, there was another chap who sang. He always sang the same thing over and over again.
Maurice Chevalier.
It was Maurice Chevalier. He was the absolute opposite to Maurice Chevalier. But it was very good. I enjoyed my thing.
Of course, what you're talking about here now, Harry, is your life really after the army, isn't it? Let's go back a little bit because as far as your military service is concerned, it hadn't yet ended in the story that we've got on the tape. But when it ended, I mean, what happened? Did they retire? Were you retired, Harry, or what happened?
Oh, yes. No, I was in that Sir Lipton's place, One Fitzjohn's Avenue, for the, you know, the last period, you know, there's no use me going to learn something else or do something else. And really, quite frankly, I'll be perfectly honest, I was always going to keep fit thing. And I rolioed off, you had to rolio a thing off, hundreds of blue, green, white things. One was the first hour of your training, and another one was the second hour of your training. And I was going to sell them for about 1 or 6 months of time.
Got it, yeah.
I sold a few, in actual fact. But I didn't, you know, do much. But whilst we were there in that house, you know, number one Fitzjohn's Avenue, with the
singer
in the garden, that was really the very end of my. I could have gone off and stayed at home if I wanted, but I hadn't got a home. Then I hadn't got a home. I had to organise. In fact, I went to a place called Elthiron Road. In fact, my metal box still has it painted on the top.
That address.
Elthiron Road. I stayed there for about oh, about 6 or 7 weeks before I bought a house. I bought a house straight away.
So what did they do? The army, they retired you? Or?
Oh, yes. In actual fact, I'd managed to do nearly a week over my actual...
22 years.
22 years and, well, I think about 5 or 6 days.
But what happened on that day? I mean, what officially happens when...
Oh, they don't do anything.
Nothing?
No.
They just stop paying you, do they, or something? Or?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they give you a thing saying, you know, for one service, you know, to the Crown and Christ knows what.
They give you a pension, presumably, or something.
No, you don't get your pension till you're of age of a pension.
Yes, right.
I did get a pension. Yeah, army pension doings. But yes, that's right. Now I come to think of it.
So that briefly, that well, not briefly, because you've gone through your whole story there, Harry, really, from the time you joined the army and you're active until the end.
That's right.
I know after the army, if you want just to, because there's a bit on the tape, if you want just to finish about your theatrical interests and so on after you left the army.
Yes. Oh, I immediately, well, I had even before. At every major new opera, ballet, things like the Mermaid Theatre, where Noel Coward, I'll tell you about Noel Coward and pulling his trousers up.
Well, you can tell us the story. I'm not sure whether you did.
Oh, yes. Well, that was for his 70th birthday, so that was a long distance between me originally and doing this. Well, on his 70th birthday, you know, when he was living abroad, the first nighters and other people like that, including the Princess Margaret, gave a thing for him, a thing in praise. It was called A Talent to Amuse, A Talent to Amuse, and he was an amuse. He was living in Santa Fe, because he did surprise me when he came in. So I found out, four of us were going. I found out the seat he was going to have, and so on. And it's in the Phoenix Theatre, or the Mermaid Theatre, as I used to call it. Do you know it at all?
Mermaid Theatre, yes.
Yes, which is circular
on
like
the river.
That.
On the
and
river.
It comes down right to the... front. There are no different types of seat levels, but there are two gilded boxes on each side. Princess Margaret was in the first one, and my boss, as I was, and incidentally I went to work with Sir Thomas P. Bennett and some architects, famous architect in fact. He was the founder of the New Towns. He planned the New Towns.
Oh, yes.
Before...
Harlow, Basildon, those places.
That's right. Before the end of the war, you know, during the war, he planned the New Towns. Mm. Sir Thomas, always a good player. He went blind, strange enough, with this funny cataract. And then he was the first one in England... He got it back again. They did was something, and it got it back again. And he lived in Bedford Square. The main house was in Bedford Square. And strange enough, he organised it so that every house... Do you know Bedford Square?
I know where it is.
These enormous great houses, you know. Enormous great houses. Now, everyone, of course, has a famous or... A company that nobody can live in Bedford Square and so on. And through Sir Thomas, they have to have curtains that are lined with that colour showing outside. You can have them rain, blue, pink, any colour you'd
like. Neutral colour outside.
It has to be that colour. specific colour, and he names a specific colour. And every door has to be black, and it has to be painted at least every year.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more, the great doors, you know, great doors, double doors, many of them. In other words, he laid down the thing for the whole of Bedford Square. And we used to have two pairs of doors taken away, and of course a firm of architects, but one of the famous architects at the time, strangely enough, where Queen Victoria was born, in that house in the gardens. Was it
Kensington Palace?
Kensington Palace.
Mm.
I was in the Kensington Palace in where Queen Victoria was born, and looking out, you know, the vista along the thing, you know, it is rather nice, you know, Kensington doings. And the round circle where elderly men are playing with the boats, you know, and little.
Yes.
All sorts of boats and everything now. And wonderful. And then you come to the end, and I thought, God, what would she have done if she'd seen that monstrosity that's built at the bottom of the thing? I couldn't quite work it out, a big square block. Oh dear, what would she have thought? And then a little while later on, I went down and. But happened to be going that way and looking, and it's a bloody cinema that we built.
Oh, right.
T.P. Bennett's built. Oh, I was absolutely fed up to the teeth, you know, and seen that Queen, spoiled Queen thing. But I had a very good time there. I could get on. I wasn't qualified in the sense of. Qualified by writing, but I got some of the best jobs. Mind you, we had 500 people working for us. We had the place in oh dear me, oh Christ, I've forgotten. Anyway, the huge offices in London, in the major, all the big insurance offices in
the West End.
Yeah.
Holborn. Yeah.
We were in Holborn. We were in the top two or three floors of the Kodak building, and we used to use the same lift. And Sir Thomas. He went blind, but he stayed in his own place. And in fact, he finally recovered his doings. In fact, when he died, strangely enough, Westminster Abbey was packed to the doors.
Mm.
But then he was leading, or he was knighted about four times, and so on. And he was also the... oldest and the principal knight bachelor. He was principal knight bachelor, and it was absolutely packed with knights bachelor in his doing.
We've just gone off this thing there, because I'm going to bring you back, Harry, to watch, because that was your one. But you were talking about the Mermaid Theatre and Noel Coward's Trousers.
Oh yes. Yes.
So I'll bring you back to that.
Oh, you didn't? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. We decided to, you know, say farewells and no kind like he do. Although he was within yodeling distance of whatever he's called, this other chap we used to know very well, who's also knighted, strangely enough. God, I forgot his name. Anyway, no card. We're you know, all sitting in the auditorium there, packed up, and we had fifth row front are all the best seats in the house, not first row or whatever. Fifth row front were doing. And as I was chairman of the first night of society, I got you know, easy to get seats, every seat that I wanted, by number, you know. Mm. And we got these seats on the side, and it's just one thing coming down, you know, like that. Fifth row, we're on the fifth row, and we got these four seats, five seats in actual fact. And then when it was packed and whatever, Noel, a little late, as usual, but as expected, suddenly appeared at the top, doors opened. Suddenly, of course, a rapturous applause, everybody stands up, you know. Oh, no, card. In his old brown dinner jacket, you know, he always had a special brown dinner jacket, a brown silk facing his thing, you see. But of course, he's now been living in, by that time, in the south of France for God knows how long, you know, getting a bit weary, and he looked, he could hardly
walk. Afraid.
Oh, could hardly walk. Yes. So anyway, he walked down, and I think the band played dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum, something like that, so that every step he made, everybody, oh, Noel, dear Noel. And there's me, you know, turned round waiting, I were back to the stage waiting, and he then comes to these five seats, empty seats, the only seats in the house, in front of me, you see, comes down. Okay, so there are two seats on the end of that row, so they have got out of the rings and stand on one side so they can walk in. So he walks in, you know, and his thing, and mind you, he'd had I'd forgotten. Mm. I was going to do my act. I'd forgotten his doings. So he comes down and does his thing, you see, and then he gets to his place, walks in the doings like that, and his trousers fell down past his knees.
Was he on the stage then?
No, he was in the audience, putting his seats in the audience,
right.
His first night seats, you know,
yes.
With everybody. Even my Princess Margaret was in the box, clapping like mad. And his trousers fell down, and suddenly there's a deathly hush. So I had to get his stand even further up, you see, and get his trousers, and he coloured, what do you call it, underpants? None too brilliant. As well, sort of, you know, coloured, you know, sort of short type things, yeah. Pulling and retching him up his thing, up his doing. But then his dinner jacket had been made for him 20 odd years ago, you know, and he'd been in the south of France and everything, and he'd shrunk and that. Mm. And he finally managed to hold it and doing some, finally sit down. And I got a clap. They gave me a clap.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and then we went outside, you know, at the end, clouded round the door to finally see him off in his taxi. And there's a big limousine outside with the chauffeur and everybody, Princess Margaret's limousine, you see. And Noel comes out of the stage door and the crowd round, you see, and I on the front of me, they say, oh, hello Noel, how are you, and everything like that. And suddenly, well, it went on for ages, really. And incidentally, next to me was a figure, it was rather winter, no, it wasn't winter, but it was fairly coolish, you know. But next to me was a tall, fairly tallish person, and I couldn't see who it was. And he was in a fur coat that went round like that and just went down. You couldn't see.
Went round his face, round his head.
Who the person was, obviously, you know. Mm. Couldn't see anything at all. Mm. And standing there. But no, I was busy with Noel, you know. I couldn't do anything like that. And finally, Princess Margaret got out of her car. Went to that gardener chap, whoever it was, she was with a gardener chap,
Ruddy Llewellyn.
Get in that so-and-so car. Which he instantly did, you see. But then we went on to say no, get in and chit-chat. And I have thought, what's this creature standing, you know, with this fur coat which went above his head, wrapped round? And it turned out to be that famous ballet dancer.
Nureyev.
Nureyev, who I hadn't really worked him out as being in, you know, in that kind of setting, you know, to know all coward.
No, but he did mix in all sorts of company, didn't he, that Nureyev?
Yes, he was certainly, you know, oh yes, I think Margaret had him down. That's so. Right.
Something like.
Well, I don't know. Really.
Who knows? Well, Harry, thank you. Harry, you are. Can you just remind us of how old you are now, at this moment in time?
I think, well, 15th of February, 1918.
1918, so that my maths is not too good, so that makes you.
85 or 84.
Right, okay.
I'm one of the two.
And you're living now in your flats here in Putney?
Yes.
And presumably enjoying your retirement of many years ago, presumably now, I guess.
Bored. I can't sleep very well. I can sleep during the daytime, you know, regularly. I do regularly. Mm. Really. If I sit down and listen to the radio, I fall off. But I can only